Hour number two of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show live in Atlanta today for the national championship game between Ohio State and Notre Dame. We'll go out to the guest line right now, and we got to talk Commanders. We got to talk Lions. We got to talk college football. So let's do so with the man that is the radio analyst for the Michigan Wolverines, played for both franchises in the NFL, and we know he's going to be very opinionated about all things college football and the NFL, and that, of course, is John Jansen. Does a great job now as the morning co-host on 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit. John, how you been?
Zach, good to see you. How you been? I've had some better times other than, watching my former franchise beat down another former franchise that I'm now talking about on a daily basis. But, hey, that's the game. That's football, and such is life.
Yeah, like, were you happy on Saturday night? It was probably mixed emotions.
It was definitely mixed emotions. And no, I wasn't really happy. It's, I cover the Lions. I've known Dan for, heck, Dan and I were in the same draft. Hank Fraley, the offensive line coach, Mark Brunell, Antoine Randall, teammates. They're now on the staff here in Detroit. So it was a bittersweet win for me, for Washington. But right now my heart's in Detroit. So it was tough and unexpected. Honestly, there wasn't a lot of people that were picking Washington to come away with the win. But that's why you play the game. You don't play it on paper, and stats don't always tell the full story. The only stat that matters is the win-loss column and those that are still playing. And Washington's still playing, as well as the game tonight. Ohio State, they're still playing as well.
Well, let me get to the lines in just a second. But before we brought you on, I was talking about the Commanders and Jaden Daniels. And this is how far I'm willing to go right now, and it's pretty far. I think he's already a top five quarterback in the NFL, right? Mahomes, you got Burrow, you got Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. After that, the fifth spot is up for grabs. The only other person currently playing that I would maybe put in that conversation is Matthew Stafford. But what Daniels has been able to do, holy smokes, this is really something.
It really is. And to think that and the 12 games that they won in the regular season, the only playoff team that they beat was against Philadelphia. So that's what led me to start to believe, well, maybe it was a little bit of fool's gold for a rookie. He has improved every week throughout the course of this season. And then you look what he did against Tampa and the game-winning drive at the end. You look how composed he was at every step of the way in Ford Field. That stadium was primed and the top was ready to blow off it, but he handled it as a seasoned vet. And then you look at what he did to the defense. There was no blitz. There was no coverage that he wasn't comfortable trying to dissect. And when you've got a skill set like his, I'm not going to put him in Lamar Jackson's category yet, but it's very similar. Josh Allen as well. When you've got a mobile quarterback that you can call runs for at the next level, that is really good at reading defenses and putting his team in the best place. He doesn't care what the stats are in terms of the passes, the completions, or his rush yardage. When you get that unselfish play and the knowledge that he brings to the game, I mean, it's going to be exciting for that franchise for the foreseeable future, as long as he stays healthy.
John Jansen here with us. So a lot to get through on the lines, but just looking back at the game, what did you think the biggest play of the game was? Because I know what I think it is, but I'm curious what you think it is.
I would go back to when it all started, and that's the fumble on third down. First of all, I'm not sure why the Lions didn't run it, but Jared Goff has to have the awareness of when the pocket collapsed. And that's what you thought, a guy that's been in the league as long as he's played in the Super Bowl, what they did in the playoffs last year. He's got great experience, and the pocket presence that he showed all season long didn't lead me to believe that he'd have a moment like that where, as the pocket collapses, he doesn't put two hands on the ball, he doesn't tuck it, he doesn't throw it away, and to make the ball vulnerable at that point, that's where, if they're able to go up at that point 14-3, I think they're able to put a lot of pressure on Washington and do what they want to do. But that was the turning point for me. In fact, that's the moment where I was watching it at home. I told the kids, I'm going in the other room because there are certain things that I'm going to say that I don't want you repeating at school. I don't want to hear again. There's going to be new ways to use certain words. And it just it snowballed from there.
I thought it was the Sanristil first interception. And this is going to put you in a tough spot again, because I know you love Mikey being a Michigan man.
Damn, and he's
with the Commanders, but that's what he did at Michigan, and now he's doing it in the NFL. If he doesn't make that interception, They either make a 10-point deficit, 7 or 3, with the touchdown or a field goal. We'll see what they would have got there. And then they get the stop coming out of half, and then they get a touchdown. So if they would have got a touchdown on that drive, they take the lead in the second half, they would have got a field goal, they would have tied the game. I thought that was the biggest play.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue. And I just went with the one that I thought started the snowball effect and the downhill run from there. But how about the way that the Commanders are set up on both sides of the ball? The leadership that Jaden Daniels shows on offense and his command of the offense and being able to read defenses and do what he did. And then Mikey Sanders still in the same draft a little bit later. I knew coming out of college that he was going to be, and I was there. I was really excited that he went to Washington. Obviously, I've still got a lot of affection for that franchise. But when you get a player of his ability and his leadership, that's really where I think that franchise did a great job of drafting two leaders on both sides of the ball. And not discounting anybody else there, but I think they're set up for some good things because of the quality and the character that they drafted, more so than the players that they drafted.
John Jansen here with us. When you walk away from this game and you look at the future of Jared Goff, we know he's not going anywhere. He's under contract and he's getting highly compensated in this league to not have those moments that he had on Saturday night. Do you still feel like Goff can win a Super Bowl with the Lions?
I do. And I mean, I go back to last year when he led this team to an NFC championship game. It was unlikely. Nobody expected it last year. But the reason they lost in San Francisco wasn't because of Jared Goff. It was, you know, an interception that should have happened. It goes off Kendall Vildor's face mask and into Ayuk's arms. It's Jahmyr Gibbs as a rookie with a fumble. Like there's, and he put the ball right in the hands of Josh Reynolds. On 4th and 2, they convert that one, and maybe it's, you know, they would have been in the Super Bowl last year. I don't necessarily want to put it on him, you know, all of it. Obviously, you have a fumble and you throw 3 interceptions. There's plenty to go around. But I still think that Detroit can win with Jared Goff. I mean, they were a team that was 15-2. They had gone into Dallas. They had gone into Green Bay, into Minnesota. Minnesota, they were down 10-0 to start the game. Ended up, you know, I think it was David Montgomery fumbled late in the game. Jared Goff took him on a drive to put him in field goal position. He's still got those qualities. He just picked the wrong day to have a bad day.
John Jansen here with us. And then you get the news a little bit about an hour ago that Ben Johnson is going to be the next head coach of the Bears. Your immediate reaction to that?
Well, I just stood up after getting kicked in the nuts. Now I get kicked in the nuts again. And it's just, we knew Ben was going to be a highly sought-after commodity. Aaron Glenn, I don't think he's far behind, whether it's the Jets or the Saints. So, you know, this is where I gain comfort with the Detroit Lions, and that is you've got your quarterback locked up. You've got your stud offensive lineman in Penei Sewell locked up. Aiden Hutchinson is going to be back. He's going to be healthy. You look around, and Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jamison Williams, Jahmyr Gibbs, they've got a lot of talent at the key positions. This year they were banged up on defense, but talent-wise, as players are going to be there. And I just talked about leadership from the player's position. You know, it's got to start with the head coach. Dan Campbell is as good a leader as you're going to find. He's going to do a fine job of finding a replacement. And I don't know where it comes from. It may come within. He talked about it today. You know, he may promote from within. And whether it's, you know, Tanner Engstrom, that name's been thrown around a lot. Mark Brunell's name's been thrown around. You know, they could find somebody offensively to step in. But this is Dan Campbell's offense. It's the vision of Dan Campbell. Ben Johnson is a terrific play caller. And we'll find out who's the creative mind. Is it Ben Johnson? Is it Dan Campbell? Is it the staff? Who does Ben take with him? I think maybe that's the bigger concern, is who goes with Ben Johnson to Chicago. So there's still a lot of questions, but, you know, go back to Dan's first year. Anthony Lynn was the offensive coordinator. It wasn't what Dan wanted, so he removed those responsibilities, ended up the following year giving it to Ben Johnson. This is Dan Campbell's offense, and it's going to remain Dan Campbell's offense. So I'm going to be okay. Lions fans are going to be okay. I think there's still really good days ahead.
With what you're saying, do we maybe from afar, and you're there every day with the Lions talking about them, do we overpraise them, Ben Johnson, a little bit too much, you think, nationally?
Well, I know, I don't think so. I mean, he's the one calling the plays. And anytime you talk about a staff, it's always a, you know, it's a collaborative effort. And you got one guy calling the plays because that's all there's time for on game day. But when you think about, you know, the offensive minds that I just mentioned that are in there, I'll throw Hank Fraley in that as well. You know, there's still plenty of guys there that are very creative. And that's the debate we've had here in Detroit is, did this Lions offense and the skill and the talent make Ben Johnson, or did Ben Johnson make the talent and the skill? And it's, you know, it's I don't know where the 51 lies, but I'm hoping that the 51 still lies in Detroit.
Like, do you think, is he a good leader of men? Like, it's one thing to call the plays. It's one thing to have all these different crazy designs and these trick plays. We've seen a lot of innovative offensive minds before not translate into being good head coaches. I know it's Chicago, right? They got a quarterback that I still think could be good in Caleb Williams, but there's always, you're looking at the Bears and you're saying, how are they going to mess this up, right? It's, you know, it's just the truth of the situation. So how do you think he'll transition going from OC to head coach?
That's the unknown. And if anybody tells you, other than Ben Johnson, what his plan is, how he's going to go about it, how he's going to change the culture in Chicago, they're all going to be speculating. And what I do know is he could have taken a job last year. And whether it was unfinished business that's still left undone here in Detroit, or it's he just still wanted to learn more from Dan in terms of how he instilled the culture, because Ben Johnson was here before Dan got here on the staff prior to that. So, you know, obviously Dan saw enough to keep him around. Dan saw enough to promote him. How much has he learned from all the different stops that he's been at that he can implement for his style of coaching? His style is not going to be the same as Dan Campbell. It's not going to be the same as Dan Quinn, who we saw across the other field, you know, on Saturday night. He's going to have to create his own style. As long as he's authentic in what he tells the players, how he treats the players, and how he handles himself, he's going to be just fine.
Now, my brain is like spinning in a million directions since finding out Ben Johnson's going to the Bears, because we know he's off the board when a lot of people, including myself, didn't think that was going to happen, him going to the Bears. We know Vrabel is already in Foxborough, was introduced, and there's five jobs remaining. You know, I kind of feel now Mike McCarthy goes to the Saints, because all we heard is McCarthy's going to be either the coach of the Saints or the Bears. Aaron Glenn, it's been Saints or Jets. Like, where do you think Glenn is going? I'm going to say right now it's the Jets.
I think you're right. I think it'll be the Jets. I mean, it's where he played. He's very familiar with the surroundings. He's very familiar with the franchise. And you're going to need a guy. And they love having defensive-minded head coaches. Obviously, that's what they're just coming from. And the defense took a little bit of a step back this year. And I would be surprised if he went anywhere than that. Because, and here's the thing. When you think about Ben Johnson, why did he make that decision to go to Chicago? Well, he's got a young quarterback. He's got a terrific receiving core. So he's got some things to build around. Why would Aaron Glenn go to the Jets, even though it seems like it's a weird organization and there's a lot of drama? There's always going to be some drama because it's New York. But he's got one of the best corners to play the game in a short time. That's Sauce Gardner. You look at that defense, and there's playmakers up front. They've invested in the defense. So as a defensive play caller, it seems logical to me that he'd want to go somewhere that he knows he could insert himself, and at least on one side of the ball, they could be dominant going into next season.
How do you kind of look back at the NFC North this year? Because the Vikings and Lions, the great regular seasons, duds in the postseason, Bears, a dud throughout the entirety of the season, and the Packers, they were good, but we thought they could take that next step into going back to being Super Bowl contenders, and they weren't able to do that.
I don't know. It seems like the NFC North is kind of the SEC of pro football, and they just kind of lay those eggs. It's a little shot from Big Ten country. But, you know, it was a great regular season, and we know that the regular season, it's 17 opportunities to set you up for a great position in the playoffs, and nobody did it better than the Detroit Lions. They took care of the Vikings twice, especially at the end of the year with all the marbles on the line. They took care of the Packers. Obviously, they took care of the Bears. And so it's, you know, I still think it's one of the best divisions in football, but they sure didn't show up in the playoffs.
All righty, so we're in the last few hours of the Michigan Wolverines being national champions. When Michigan beat Ohio State this year, which I may or may not remember a conversation we had in the summer in Las Vegas, as I was having a few drinks. I remember you were smoking a cigar, and we were like, man, how awesome would it be if Michigan could beat Ohio State this year? And they did it. when that happened in late November, if I would have said to you, John, Ohio State's going to win the national championship, you would have never believed it, right?
That's not true. You know, when you look at this team, as long as they get their head screwed on straight, this is maybe the most talented team in college football this year. And I know some people have gone way off the rails and said it's the most talented team in college football ever. I'm not going to go that far. But, you know, what they invested in it with NIL dollars and the transfer portal, it really is a very talented team. And it's just a matter of, you know, and for whatever reason, Michigan is in the head of the players, the coaches, the play callers, whatever it is. I don't know. You know, and obviously we were on the other side of that for 17 years. So I'll take the four that we have right now. But when you force a coach and an entire side of the ball to completely get and ignore what they've done all season long, and maybe, you know, that was the game that is the impetus for what they're doing now in the playoffs, because they did not throw the ball other than a 2-minute drive right before half where they went down. They had three timeouts, didn't need to spend any of them, and put the ball right in the end zone. I thought coming out of halftime, it was going to be, you know, Buckeye, you know, it was going to be air raid all over the field, and they didn't. And I still have no idea why. I would love to hear from the coaching staff as to why they did what they did.
I'll tell you why. It's because Harbaugh, Stallions, and all these guys, the born on third base comments, they were still in the head of Ryan Day, and he tried to win a certain way, right? Be a tough football team, run the football instead of do what is best for Ohio State, and that was to get the ball to Ibuka and then also Smith.
Well, I know, and the whole goal is to win, right? I mean, if you're going to have a measuring contest, it's in number of wins and points at the end of the game, and you know, it's I the last three teams that Michigan has had, they've been built to compete and even beat Ohio State. This year's team was not, and I just don't understand. So since then, though, what have we seen? I mean, it's been, I mean, Jeremiah Smith has been on an absolute tear. Will Howard, and you can say whatever you want about him as a game manager, as just a guy that distributes the football. He's done a good job of protecting the ball, making the plays that are there to be made, and honestly, just putting the ball in the same zip code as some of those receivers. That's all you simply got to do. And if they do that tonight, they'll be national champs.
You think Ohio State's going to win? Because we know Notre Dame, right, good defense, special teams, just like Michigan, and then their offense. Jeremiah Love's a heck of a player, but Riley Leonard is kind of a question mark.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you ask me who I want to win, no, I might have to disconnect. I don't know. I'm not sure.
I'll say it for you. You want Notre Dame to win. I want Notre Dame to win. Let's call a spade here.
Can it end of the tie? I mean, I know there's like there's epic cold and snow. I mean, maybe something happens that they just call the game off at the end of the third quarter in a tie. I don't know. I think it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. I think it's a great matchup. And we can argue all we want about the 12-team playoff. I do think that the best two teams are squaring off for the national championship. However they got here, right, wrong, or indifferent, I think it's the two best teams. And I do like the matchup. I like Notre Dame's defense playing against Ohio State's offense. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll see what happens.
He's John Jansen. It's a great job. Co-host of the morning show on 97.1 The Ticket. Does the Michigan games, obviously, as their color analyst, and we appreciate him jumping on board with us today on what was a very busy, conflicting day of emotion, if you are John Jansen.
It is, yeah. Hey, thanks, Zach, for having me, and we'll talk to you again soon.
You got it. Thanks so much. There's John Jansen. A whole lot to react to. We'll do that when we come on back. It is the Zach Gelb Show live in Atlanta for the national championship game, where I'm rooting for Notre Dame to beat Ohio State. I'm not wishy-washy about this. I want Notre Dame to win, but we'll come on back and we will get into the Eagles and the Chiefs and how they have the two best defensive players remaining out of the four teams in the NFL postseason. It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask us a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INF Sportsnet or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. It is Zach Gelb Show live from Atlanta for the national championship game tonight between the Ohio State Buckeyes and the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. Stu, it's a big day for you because you are a Notre Dame fan, but for this segment, you wanted Ben Johnson, right? He was on your short list of people that could be coaching the Raiders. Did you fall for it? Because I know that you're always prepared with the Raiders to get let down
yes.
and for them to just rip your heart out. But, you know, about a month ago, it was all right, Ben Johnson to the Bears. Then it picked up momentum about Ben Johnson going to the Jaguars. And then Tom Brady said, Antonio Pierce, you're out of here. You're fired. He said, Tom Telesco, you're fired. I sound like Donald Trump back in the day on The Apprentice. That's a timely reference for today. And a lot of people started to speculate that Brady was going to be able to ooh and ah and make Ben Johnson go to the Raiders because he could pick the GM, even though they don't have a quarterback and they don't have a lot of talent on that team. From 0 to 100, how confident were you that Ben Johnson was going to say, yeah, it seems crazy, but I was going to go to the Raiders?
I thought it was like a 30. I didn't necessarily buy it. Obviously, the Brady factor I thought would be something that would at least intrigue him. But, I mean, when you turn down the Commanders with the chance of coaching Jaden Daniels, and then at this point it would have been the Bears and the Jaguars with Williams and Lawrence, to a team that doesn't have a quarterback or a really strong path to a quarterback. I know they could trade into the top two or three and draft one, but I don't know. I was always a little skeptical, so I wasn't all in like, oh, they're definitely getting Ben Johnson. So I guess this hurts a tiny bit less, if you will.
So I took the cheese, no doubt about it on this one. I was the mouse in the trap, and I am now dead because I took the cheese thinking that I was going to be able to get away with it. I thought Ben Johnson was going to go to the Raiders when we found out that Tom Brady got rid of Telesco, was making a big push for him because Ben Johnson's just such a wild card because of the Commanders thing. I read an article. A listener sent me this over the weekend, Stu. It was an article, I think, in the Sporting News. That in the article it claimed from one reporter, I forget who it was, I'm just bringing this up in the moment, so I apologize in advance, that it was actually the Commanders who at the end of the day didn't want Ben Johnson because supposedly Ben Johnson wanted to stick with Sam Howell, is what I read.
Oh, boy.
And he wasn't all that into Jaden Daniels. Now, I don't know the validity of that, but it was something that a listener sent me and I read, and it was in the Sporting News from a reporter. So I just thought that was fascinating because that was the first time that I ever heard that. But now, Stu, we know that Ben Johnson's going to the Bears, and you have five jobs now remaining because Vrabel's with the Pats, Ben Johnson's with the Bears. You got the Raiders, the Jaguars, the Cowboys, the Jets, and the Saints. Like, here's how I think it's going to go now. I'm going to say Mike McCarthy goes to the Saints. It was really McCarthy, either the Bears or the Saints. Now the Bears are off the board, so I'm going to say Big Mike goes to the Saints. I'm going to say that the Jets get Aaron Glenn, and I thought that Aaron Glenn could have picked the Saints, but a lot more people keep on saying that if it's up to Aaron Glenn, he wants to be the next head coach of the Jets. You look at the Jaguars, I'm going to still believe it's a young, innovative offense of mine, Liam Cohen, the offensive coordinator of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Cowboys, I still believe it's going to be Kellen Moore. I'm not going to sit here and be as confident as I was last week about it, but with that being said, I do think that Jerry Jones wants a coach that he could control, and I believe Kellen Moore is that. The Raiders, Stu, I think are the ultimate wild card now, and they're the most intriguing team to see who they're going to pick as their next head coach, because outside of Max Crosby and Brock Bowers, they don't really have much going for them. Sure, you don't have a GM, so that could maybe make a coach want to go there that wouldn't consider you, but that didn't work out well with Ben Johnson because he just picked the Bears. And I feel as if Brady's going to make a big splash, or he's going to try to make a big splash. Now, the first splash didn't work with Ben Johnson. They tried. That's all you could ask them to do. And I think Ben Johnson ended up making the right move going to the Bears instead of picking the Raiders. I could argue that I thought the Jaguars were a better destination. I've already laid that out. The Raiders, if I'm looking for a big splash, and I'm still not confident this guy's going to get a job, but if I'm a Raider fan, still, I'm hoping that Pete Carroll is now the next head coach, just to bring some stability.
I think at this point, that's probably the best case scenario, because I just don't know who else you can go to that is a big enough name that's going to excite the fan base, and like you said, give them some stability. Now, the problem, I guess, would be, okay, there's a timeline on this, right? Like, you hire Pete Carroll. You're not expecting Pete Carroll to be your head coach for 7 or 8 years. But again, I think you've said last week or in the past, beggars cannot be choosers at this point. And I've had a lot of coaches that are not very good coaches, and Pete Carroll might be the best coach they've had this century.
So Belichick's not leaving UNC for the Raiders. Do you agree, McCarthy? Where do you think McCarthy's going to get a job here?
It's maybe Saints, but if Aaron Glenn gets the Saints, I think McCarthy may not get a job this cycle.
And you know what's another name to monitor? Brian Flores.
Hmm.
And I don't think Brian Flores would be a bad hire for the Raiders. And I know his issue is, oh, he can't get along with Tua Tagovailoa, or he didn't. Well, the Raiders don't have a quarterback. So it's tough to not get along with your quarterback when you don't have one. So you're probably right in throwing that out there in McCarthy. If Glenn goes to the Saints, then I could see McCarthy because, right, the Cowboys just got rid of him. And I don't think McCarthy's going to the Raiders. So McCarthy could get shut out. I'll say this, Stu. I think either out of the names available, I believe Aaron Glenn's going to get a job in terms of the big names that we talked about a lot. I believe either McCarthy or Flores will get shut out. And because of the lawsuit still, even though he's a defensive coordinator right now in the league, I feel as if it's going to be Flores who ends up getting shut out here. If Carroll goes to the Raiders, then that's not an open job for Flores. Maybe if it's not Carroll, it is Brian Flores, especially with the Brady connection. That could be a spot. But I feel pretty good in saying Moore to the Cowboys, Glenn to the Jets, McCarthy to the Saints, and Liam Cohen to the Jaguars. That's just kind of what is the immediate reaction, Stu, with Ben Johnson going to the Bears.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think Glenn could be either Jets or Saints, but that, other than that, I can't really argue. And again, like you said, the Raiders being the wild card, maybe it's not Carroll, maybe it's someone that we're not even talking about, but that feels like a pretty safe bet with those five.
Well, if it's not Pete Carroll, and if it's not Brian Flores, is there a third name that you have out there? Because I know that you said you'd be okay with Flores and you want Carroll. Is there a name also out there that maybe excites you in the Raiders Reddit world or whatever, you know, crazy sites that you're on monitoring all this stuff?
It's probably Liam Cohen as the next option, as the third option, if you will. I don't know if there's been too much Liam Cohen Raiders talk, but I think that would be decent.
Well, then I guess you're hoping Robert Saleh surprises everybody and gets a job with the Jaguars. I saw that the Jaguars interviewed Robert Saleh. If the Jaguars hire Robert Saleh, that's one where they really do lose me. I just wouldn't understand that whatsoever.
Me neither.
By the way, so I asked you about the Raiders. So, like, you're not getting your hopes up now that it is Pete Carroll, right?
No, how could I? I'm just, you know, I can't. I have no idea what they're doing.
And you would be happy, though, if it's Flores.
Yes, I would take Flores.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, we'll do all of Stu's confidence meters here tonight. We just got your thoughts on the Raiders' job after losing out on Ben Johnson with him going to the Bears. Where are you at tonight with your Notre Dame Fighting Irish? I'm assuming you are not going to break the trend here. You're going to get the
pizza and wings. Yep.
And the wings.
From the same place. That's what we have to do here.
But you're a ranch guy, right?
I am.
I think you got to try blue cheese tonight.
Oh, I don't know if that's a good idea.
I'm just saying, ranch is not a winning formula. You lose the national championship game tonight. It's because Stu was selfish and he dunked those wings in ranch while his girlfriend was the smart one in this relationship, and she's eating the blue cheese. Whoopty. How about that?
But what if I change it up and they lose? Then I'll be like, well, what if I stuck with the ranch?
Well, that's why it's easy for me with the role that I'm in. That I could say, why did you listen to me? You should have stuck with the ranch, even though ranch is disgusting, if I'm just being honest. So I'm in a win-win situation here. I'm spite picking this game tonight. I'm just going to say it. I get one spite pick a year. And I know, right, people want your honest opinion. Like, yeah, I do think Ohio State's going to win the game. But even though I just said it, I'm not going to say it when I'm making a prediction. I'm going to trust the defense, the special teams of Notre Dame, Marcus Freeman. I trust him a whole lot more than Ryan Day. And I think the big key tonight is Riley Leonard. If Riley Leonard plays turnover-free football and Jeremiah Love could be healthier and maybe he breaks out a big run, I think Notre Dame, like, if this game is in the low 20s, high teens, that favors Notre Dame. But if this gets into the high 20s, and we know Ohio State has a really damn good defense, but they have so many offensive pieces as well, they have the ability to go score 28, 29, 30, 35 points in this game. We saw the way that they just dismantled Oregon. If this gets into that 27, 28 range, Stu, I do not then feel good about Notre Dame. If I am if I'm a Notre Dame fan, you're hoping that they're keeping it like 24 and below. If it's 24 and below, I don't know if Notre Dame could score more than 24, but if it's in that realm where Ohio State could be in the low 20s, you know, 23 and below, 24 and below, then I think Notre Dame has a chance tonight still.
Yeah, I was thinking even like 21 or lower, because I just don't know. I don't trust, especially against this Ohio State defense, which has so much talent. I just don't see a way that they're going to get into a shootout and win this game.
23-20. That would be 23-17 if we get a score like that. Like, I got to think Ohio State's scoring two touchdowns and at least two field goals. So if that's the case, right, that gets you to 20. So you got to then score, you know, well, technically then you only got to score 21. But 23-20, spite pick. First Zach Gelb show and the only spite pick of the year that I'm allowed to use. One spite pick a year. I'm taking Notre Dame. I just like Marcus Freeman a lot more than Ryan Day, and Ryan Day annoys me. And Lou Holtz, start running your mouth more. We need Lou Holtz to start running his mouth more and just get into the cabeza of one Ryan Day. But whoever wins his national championship, it's a tremendous story of resilience from where Ohio State was at the end of November and then where Notre Dame was back in week two, where they did lose to Northern Illinois. Real quickly, Chiefs and Eagles. You know, usually when we're talking about Chiefs and Eagles, you're thinking Saquon Barkley. You're thinking Patrick Mahomes, right? And, hey, right, Saquon Barkley was wonderful yesterday. And Patrick Mahomes, we know that connection so special with Travis Kelce in the postseason. I think the two best defensive players remaining in the playoffs are Chris Jones, who's Mr. Clutch, and then also Jalen Carter, who just wrecked that game and is the number one reason why the Rams aren't in the NFC Championship game. I think those are the two best defensive players remaining in the postseason. Real quickly, because this was a whole big point, and this was going back to Saturday, the two calls on Mahomes were just ridiculous. They really were. Like, what else is Will Anderson supposed to do when it comes to hitting the quarterback? And then there was another one where Mahomes is sliding, and the two Texans players hit each other, not Mahomes, and they still threw the flag. It's ridiculous. I'm not a conspiracy theory guy. You know, but the idea that you can't hit Mahomes, and I know it's most quarterbacks, it's just absolutely absurd. Both those penalties should not have been thrown, and they were ridiculous. But the Texans, man, after the game, they were going after the officials. You usually don't hear that. Here's Will Anderson on the refs versus the Kansas City Chiefs.
It was going to be us against the refs going into this game. And, you know, I talked to you guys early this week. And I was just saying, like, man, like, we got to go out there and we got to do us better. And, you know, in some instances we didn't do that, some instances we did.
And then let's hear Joe Mixon once again. This is Joe Mixon. You heard from Will Anderson. Now Joe Mixon on the refs.
Everybody know how it is playing up here. You can never leave it into the ref's hands. But, I mean, the whole world see, man, like, what it is, bro. But it is what it is. You know, like I said, when it comes down to it, you can never leave it into the ref's hands, man, and things like that. But it's all good, though.
The refs are horrible. Now, it's not the reason why the Texans lost the game. The Texans lost the game because their offense with C.J. Stroud had problems showing up in big spots. And at halftime, they were trailing when their defense, led by Will Anderson Jr., was just awesome. And he was really wrecking that game. But their offense just had no ability to be a big threat in that game, led by C.J. Stroud, who did regress in year number two. And now we'll see what year number three does have in store. So it's not why Kansas City won the game was the officials. But, geez, the officiating was absolutely brutal. We'll take a break. We'll do some onside, offside next. It is the Zach Gelb Show live in Atlanta for the national championship game between Ohio State, and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Go, Stu! Go, Notre Dame! We'll take a timeout. We'll come on back from Atlanta after these short messages. Update time first. Here's the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb.
All righty, live in Atlanta for the national championship game. Zach Gelb here with you. It is Onside, Offside time. Stu Pock, what do we got cooking today?
All right. All the blame in Baltimore is falling on star tight end Mark Andrews' shoulders after his awful fourth quarter fumble and his even worse drop ball on the tying two-point attempt. After the game, however, Andrews was not available to speak to the media. So onsides, offsides, you're okay with Andrew skipping the media after such a heartbreaking performance?
You got to speak to the media there. You're a professional. You've been doing this for a long time. I think it makes it worse if you don't make yourself available after the game. And I think people would have sympathy for you, even though you are the biggest reason why the Baltimore Ravens lost. You just get up there and you go, hey, you know, I dropped the ball. I got to catch it, right? And then the fumble early, you can't cough up the ball as well. And I think with how somber he would have been and showing that remorse and just saying, hey, it's on me, you probably have some sympathy, I would hope, in the media. And it's not as if you have to stand up there and talk for 22 minutes, because it's very simple with Mark Andrews. Two-point conversion. What happened? I thought I had it. I dropped it. I feel horrible. And that's it. But to not speak to the media at all, eventually you're going to have to speak on it. But am I okay with Andrews skipping the media after such a heartbreaking performance? I'm not. So I'm going offside.
Offside.
All right. The Lions were the best team in NFC all year and suffered yet another devastating playoff loss. Now the team is likely to lose both offensive and defense coordinators, as Ben Johnson is headed to the Bears and Aaron Glenn is up for several jobs. However, head coach Dan Campbell says that this isn't the end for the team.
Do you feel like the Super Bowl window is still open for you guys going forward?
Yeah, I do. I do, man. I think that's, you know, we talk about that core group is still intact, but yeah, we absolutely do. You got your culture, you got your identity, and you got players and that fit into that. And we've got that. We got players in every pivotal position you can ask for to have success. And those guys are made the right way. So absolutely, our window is open.
So onsides, offsides, the Lions Super Bowl window is closed.
So Stu, if I say yes to this question and say that the Lions Super Bowl window is closed, I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Okay.
Who are the three teams that in the NFC that you believe in the most?
I would say Eagles for one. I guess now we have to put the Commanders in that conversation. And then I guess the Packers would be my third.
And that's the thing. You go through this. Are the Buccaneers in the NFC South, Falcons, Panthers, Saints anywhere close to winning a Super Bowl? No. In the NFC North, are the Bears just because they got Ben Johnson? No. Green Bay was 11-6. They were a fraudulent 11-6 this year. The Vikings, they were 14-3. We'll see who their quarterback's going to be. You go in the NFC West, maybe the 49ers could bounce back. But am I believing in Brock Purdy big time? No. The Cardinals, I don't believe in. The Seahawks, if they could get a better quarterback, maybe. And the Rams, we'll see if Matthew Stafford comes back. Giants are a mess. Cowboys are a mess. And then you get through the rest. It's like, okay, yeah, the Commanders are wonderful, but we thought the Texans would take the next step this year, and they weren't able to do so. And the Eagles should be good for a while. So I think it's crazy to say today that the Lions Super Bowl window is closed. Now, you will have people that will be skeptical of them moving forward. They have another big regular season. It's like, all right, show it to me in the postseason. But this idea that this team can't get back to the divisional round next year and be victorious and get to an NFC Championship game a year from now, and then eventually a Super Bowl, I think that is way too premature. So the Lions Super Bowl window is closed. I disagree with that. I go offside.
Offside.
All right. Before hiring Ben Johnson, the Bears reportedly reached out to the Steelers about a possible trade for Mike Tomlin. However, the Steelers reportedly rebuffed the inquiry, and discussions never even reached Tomlin. Now, if you remember, Tomlin and the Steelers agreed on a 3-year, $50 million extension in June that will keep him in Pittsburgh until 2027. Onsides, offsides, Tomlin will be the Steelers' coach at least until 2027.
If I was running the team, and he has a contract, like you said, through 2027, I would say forget about the 3 years. You got 2 years to either find your next franchise quarterback or get me one playoff win. If you can't do that in 2025 or 2026, I'm firing you by 2027. But the Steelers have had basically three coaches, Noel Coward and Mike Tomlin. I don't think they have any inclination to move on from Mike Tomlin anytime soon. So Tomlin will be the Steelers coach at least until 2027. I still think so, because it doesn't even feel as if the Steelers are contemplating moving off of him. Fans may be different, but the organization, not so much. So yes, he'll be the coach until at least 2027 on sides.
All right, speaking of coaching extensions, Texas gave Steve Sarkisian one more year to his previous 6-year deal, which includes a significant raise that'll keep him in Austin through 2031. Now, Sark had reportedly turned down at least two NFL interview requests and turns his attention now to coaching Arch Manning in 2025. Onsides, offsides, Sark will remain with Texas for the next 7 years.
Yeah, I'm going offside on this one, and here's why. being an NFL head coach right now is easier than a college coach. So if Arch Manning is successful, you will then still have those job interviews. I never thought Sark was leaving until he got to coach Arch Manning for a full season. However, if Arch Manning isn't successful, even though you just won the Big 12 and then you were just in the SEC championship game, well, if you don't capitalize with Arch, then people could start to think that maybe you aren't the right guy, even though you've done a really good job at Texas so far. So I think whether it's good or bad in terms of his reasoning, I could see him ultimately going to the NFL or going somewhere else in college if it went down the bad route and he had to go somewhere else. But I think NFL is probably most likely after Arch ends up being a star. So Sark will remain with Texas for the next 7 years. I am going offside.
Offside!
All right, last one here. The ACC got two teams in the college football playoffs thanks to Clemson's win over SMU in the title game. Now the conference is reportedly considering a tweak to their title game after SMU had to sweat it out to see if they made the playoff following their loss. One proposal would give the regular season champ a bye and have the second and third place teams battle it out in the title game, thus avoiding the chance the best team misses the playoffs if they lose the game. Another proposal would create a 14 playoff with the winner winning the conference. So onsides, offsides, you don't like either of these proposals.
Yeah, because that's just like I'm supposed to then view that team as the actual conference champion when the top team just got a bye, and then what, the highest ranked conference champion gets a spot in the playoff unless they find a way to change that rule. That's stupid to me. You know, it's just stupid. I don't like that whatsoever. So you don't like either of these proposals? Yeah, I think this was actually the easiest onside offside question I've ever had to answer. It is easily onside. Think about that. The ACC is trying to be like, all right, we're one of the Power Four conferences, which you are. But you're admitting that there's a separation with the Big Ten and the SEC compared to the ACC and the Big 12, which there is. But now the idea, and that's the first time I heard it, that the regular season champ would get a bye and have the second and third teams battled out of the title game, thus avoiding the chances the best team misses the playoff if they lose the game. Like, what are we doing? Another proposal would be to create a 14 playoff with the winner winning the conference. Stop. Yeah, the regular season's long enough. First and two playing the championship game, and if you get two teams in, great. If you don't, sorry, you're out of luck. Like, tough luck. Deal with it. Alrighty, we're coming on back. We're getting back into the divisional round weekend reaction. We return live from Atlanta. It is the Zach Gelb Show.